We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. Willie P and Diesel here with you on a Wednesday, the 18th day of the ninth month, September 2019. Chatting with you about the world of sports. Hope you're enjoying yourself as we take you through the rest of your afternoon in the upstate of South Carolina. Telephone number for you to call in, 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. Text lines open for you as well. That is at 71307. Please put ESPN in the body of your text message and be a part of the program that way. It is, I don't want to call it a TNT Tuesday because we're not necessarily doing the same thing with Connolly and Colin that we do with these two guys, but we will have our usual spot with Taj Boyd, 421, as he will talk to us, the former Clemson football quarterback, 421, his usual spot with us on Wednesdays. Torrey Gurley from the Gamecocks side of things, he'll join us at 521 to go over the Gamecocks, who take on Missouri this week, Clemson facing Charlotte. Also, you in between, we'll hear from some Carolina and Clemson players, asking you a little bit less than an hour from now, the toughest opponent left for Clemson. And no, themselves is not an answer. I want to know, we're going to give you four choices of which opponent is the toughest left for Clemson. You might have one that's off the board. We'll certainly give you an opportunity to react to that. Would you be open to relegation in college athletics? Something similar to what they do in European soccer. Would you be open to something similar in the college athletic realm? Diesel has a brand new blog up at ESPNUpstate.com. We will expound upon that at 6:20. We will reopen the Pandora's box that is the NCAA pay-for-play. Yesterday we talked with Marlon Kimpson, state senator right here from South Carolina. More states have come and piggybacked along with South Carolina on the California bill that is trying to basically change the way the NCAA does its business, and the way the NCAA does its business, we once again will tell you, is basically to defraud and devalue the work that's being done by student athletes and keep money out of their hands and put it more in the hands of the administrators and the coaches. Plenty to do, of course, with regards to the Carolina Panthers. Still don't know anything about Cam Newton's status for Sunday. Kyle Allen would start in his place, and many believe that this could possibly be the spiraling down for the Carolina Panther franchise and also spiraling down of the job of Ron Rivera. He's been talked about by many as being the coach on the hottest seat based on the fact that it looks like Carolina's season could be going down in the dumps, especially if Cam Newton is out for a significant period of time. Plenty there. Well, of course, as we usually do, start with the college. And a couple of things said by our two usual Tuesday guests that I want to expound upon as we open here today. First off, South Carolina taking on Missouri this weekend, 4 o'clock, SEC Network alternate channel. You have the cable and you have that particular channel that it might be difficult for you to find. Of course, your local sports bar might very well have it. Yours truly, who has cut the cord, finding it a little bit harder to find those channels than necessarily it would. But you'll be happy to know, Diesel, that I found a cocktail mixture when it comes to the a la carte TV cord cutting options that gives you the ability to get all the sports you want, still be cheaper than what my cable was, and oh, by the way, still sticking it to the man and giving it all the ability to make that happen. But either way, be that as it may, you should have an opportunity to figure out how to find this game for you if you don't necessarily know where your SEC alternate channel is. Well, one thing South Carolina is going to have to find is the correct antidote for this Missouri Tiger team. They've found that over the last 3 years, they've won each of the last three contests against Missouri, and that's the part of it that, to me, at least is a feather in your cap. However, I don't know if they go into this game, number one, as offensively apt, and number two, as defensively equipped to play against this Tiger ball club. This Tiger outfit loves to put points on the football field and puts the points on the board. And I think the other part of this, too, is where they are strongest is where South Carolina is weakest. They have a very good receiving core. You guys know all about the work that Kelly Bryant can do. He's looking more and more like the guy we saw 2 years ago for the Clemson Tigers and not nearly as much as the guy who was inconsistent with the football on the first four games of Clemson season a year ago. Having said all that, this is probably the first equal-type test for each of these ball clubs. Missouri had to go and play a game in Laramie, Wyoming at altitude, okay? That game was an impossible spot for the Missouri Tigers, much to the way that South Carolina's game against Alabama was an impossible spot for the Gamecocks. South Carolina played an out-of-conference game against a North Carolina team on a neutral site that they lost. I still contend that they're better than that North Carolina team. Slooper, don't even give me an opportunity to slam you here, because anything you said positively about the all-absolute trash conference, that is the ACC, has been completely devalued over the last week, because what they did this past weekend with losses by BC to Kansas, by UNC to Wake Forest, just once again eliminates for me any potential discussion about where they fit in the college football echelon. I still think South Carolina is a better team than North Carolina. I do believe that they created a lot of their own woes and misfortune in that contest. So, be that as it may, the South Carolina game against North Carolina is pretty much an even playing field right now, where Missouri's game was against West Virginia. And Missouri, unlike South Carolina, took care of business at home against a poor opponent. West Virginia, woeful. Is West Virginia as woeful as North Carolina? No. But this is at least the first opportunity with each of these two teams where they line up on a somewhat level playing field, but South Carolina has to go on the road. And what is the one thing that we always hear coaches say has to happen when you go on the road? Run the football. The run game travels. It will have to for South Carolina to win this game against Missouri. Colin Taylor of Gamecock Central believes the success that they had against Alabama certainly can be reciprocated when they take on the Tigers on Saturday at Faurot Field in Columbia.
I think South Carolina matches up pretty well offensively. I think that they, any team that can run the ball against Alabama like South Carolina did run the ball against Alabama, is probably solid up front, especially between the tackles. And Rico Donald's had a really good year so far that I don't think a lot of people are talking about. So I think South Carolina should be able to run the ball, which will obviously take a whole heck of a lot of pressure off of Ryan Helinski in his first road start.
12 carries, 102 yards for the senior out of Asheville. And again, he's running with the kind of violence that we haven't seen from him over his time at South Carolina. He's also healthy for the first time in his career at South Carolina for an extended period of time. Of course, though, the Gamecocks have won the last three. They lead the battle for the Mayor's Cup, 5-4. Yes, this is a trophy game, Diesel. I know you hate to say that it's a trophy game, but it's a trophy game in week number four. You hate talking about this being a trophy game. I know you don't like it being a trophy game, but it's a trophy game.
It's so stupid. It's not even a trophy. It's a cup.
It's a cup.
Is it an actual cup?
It is a cup. It's an actual cup. You haven't seen what it looks like? Connor Shaw.
Is it plastic?
No, it's gold. It's gold, Jerry. Gold. I will show you the picture of Connor Shaw kissing the mayor's cup when he went. Here's the picture of Connor Shaw kissing the mayor's cup from when he went and led the comeback against Missouri in 2013.
Did they get that locally at that little shop down in Malden?
No.
That was what it looks like. That's bad. That's so bad. Really?
Come on.
You know what that is? That's two ADs getting together and saying, you know what? We need to manufacture a rivalry out of nothing.
It was Spurrier's idea.
Well, Spurrier had a dumb idea.
Come on, man.
No, I will not back down.
You will not back down. You are going to.
I'm Tom Petty on this. I won't back down.
You are besmirching the sanctity that is the Mayor's Cup. The only one that I actually care. It's the only trophy game that I actually care about. because of my previous ties.
It's like the only trophy cup you're probably going to win.
It's true. It's very true. Although, who is me? Who is me in that regard? Am I sitting here as Missouri?
Your
or sitting
alma
here
mater.
As South Carolina? Oh, stop it. Stop it now. We're not aligning me with either of these two places. I am disaligned with both of these two places. Meanwhile, again, South Carolina, Missouri, 4 o'clock on Saturday in the other Columbia. Clemson takes on the world beater that is Charlotte. The Charlotte 49ers, the most explosive team on their schedule.
150 points in three games.
Is this like subliminal advertising like you were trying to talk about? We went to lunch last week.
You put up points.
We had the lunch last week at a barbecue place.
Yeah, we did.
And you were saying that they should put over the loudspeaker just brisket, barbecue.
Yeah,
that's basically what you're doing. It's basically what you're doing with your 150 points in three games, garbage. That's exactly what you're doing. You're putting it in the head. You are the rat poison.
Yeah, I'm trying to remind Clemson fans of why they should show up and tie one on for Charlotte. You got to be up, people, because we all know that Clemson fans have a hard time filling that stadium.
You certainly do. You know what? Lane Kiffin, apparently his FAU team has to play this Charlotte team next week. And Lane Kiffin put out on Twitter, basically quote tweeting the great Anna Hickey, who covers Clemson for the 24/7 outfit. Her tweet was, Dabo calls Charlotte the best rushing team they've seen through three games, the most explosive team Clemson has seen through three games, and number five defensive end Alex Highsmith, the best player Clemson has seen all season. And Lane Kiffin quote tweeted it and said, geez, Dabo, we play them in a week. Hashtag rat poison.
Hashtag explosive.
Oh, come on, stop it. Meanwhile, the one thing that has stood out for Clemson over the course of the first three games, aside from the fact that they have, to their mantra, left no doubt on the opponent over the course of the first three, is their defense. To the tune of just 10 points per contest through the first three games, it's lower than the scoring defense average that they had a year ago, which was one of the tops in the country. And a big part about that is the best player on the field has become Isaiah Simmons. I made what probably could be considered an outrageous statement on the surface yesterday, and I know that that doesn't necessarily surprise people, but I seem to think that Isaiah Simmons, with how great he has played this season, I think he's an All-American, number one. And number two, I think that his pro potential, given what he has done over the course of this season and last, is the kind of thing that will make NFL scouts rise to the occasion and like him more than Clemson's vaunted Power Rangers defensive line unit from a year ago. Is it crazy to say that Isaiah Simmons is a better pro prospect than any of those four defensive linemen from a year ago? I asked Matt Connolly of the state newspaper yesterday. He had this to say when I asked him, am I crazy? Is Isaiah Simmons a better pro than those defensive linemen?
I think he's an absolute superstar. I did a big story on him Monday that came out Monday, just on kind of his rise to stardom and the job that he's done. And, he's an incredible athlete. The way he plays, I mean, you just don't see many guys that are 6'4". 220 and run a 4.440, and that can tackle the way he can, football IQ that he has, the cover skills that he has. I think he's a very versatile player that can go to the NFL, and you can either use him at linebacker, you can use him at safety, depending on your defense. I think he'll probably be a safety at the next level, just his cover skills and speed and the way he hits, but he could also play linebacker, just depending on how you want to use him. But he's a versatile guy that can do a lot of things that is showcasing that versatility this year, and I think he's got a real shot to be a top 10 pick. In my opinion, he's an All-American, and he told me, he wants to be the best defensive player in college football, and that's what he came back to school to do. So I think in the way he's looking at it, if he's the best defensive player in college football, that's kind of his goal. If he's the best linebacker in the country, he'd be okay with that, but it may be a little disappointing. I think anything other than that, he feels like he kind of had a down year. So he's got high expectations for himself, and he's been living up to it so far for sure.
That's Matt Connolly yesterday right here on the show here on ESPN Upstate. I think he has every bit the pro potential. I know people could probably look at him as a tweener. That's a very, very hard thing and a hard thing to put upon him, but he reminds me more of a guy like a Minka Fitzpatrick. Somebody who can play slot corner, somebody who can rush the passer, somebody who can cover, and quite honestly, somebody who can just knock out dudes. And who just got traded for a 2020 first-round pick going to the Miami Dolphins? Ah, yes, it was Minka Fitzpatrick. That tells you the kind of value that the NFL has put on that position. And quite honestly, that tells me the kind of value that Simmons will have at the next level, greater than anything that any of those four defensive linemen, including number four overall pick Cleveland Furrell, had when it comes to their NFL pro prospects. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number. Hope you're enjoying yourself today. Glad you're in with us on ESPN Upstate. Willie P. and Diesel here with you. Coming up, I'm going to ask Taj Boyd, how would he, as a quarterback, try and stay away from Isaiah Simmons? Because quite honestly, he's the kind of guy who I don't think anybody wants to see with regards to his pro prospects on the other side of the football. I'll ask him how he thought Syracuse looked against this Clemson team and what he expects out of the Charlotte outfit that they'll see on Saturday when he joins me next. Taj Boyd joining yours truly, Willie P. and Diesel, here with you on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. Willie P. and Diesel here with you. It is our pleasure, as we are always on Wednesdays at this time, to be joined by our good friend Taj Boyd, former Clemson quarterback. You, of course, have heard him on a couple of the radio broadcasts this season. He was up at Syracuse. Hope, Taj, you didn't freeze while you were up there in Central New York. How are things, bud?
It was good, man. It was kind of a rough trip getting down there, but, man, the atmosphere was electric. It was homecoming for them. I think it was the first sellout crowd that they had in a long time, might have been ever. But, you know, obviously the Tigers cruised on to a victory, so it was a good night. At the Carrier Dome, it was really just an unbelievable, you know, atmosphere, like I said before.
I know you had gotten a chance to play there only once as a player. How did the atmosphere you saw Saturday compare to what you saw as a player?
Well, you know, now I'm getting to see it from a totally different, you know, vanity point. And when I was playing, I mean, you legitimately just walk in, you're locked in on what your objective is, what the mission is. You don't really pay much attention to the surrounding areas. So to, you know, sit up there in the press box and watch it from a bird's eye view is a really, really awesome scene. I mean, the sounds were fantastic. The pageantry was beautiful. So it's really cool to see it from that perspective because, again, once you're playing, you don't really pay attention to it. To anything that's really happening around you, more or less, that you're focusing on what's at hand right now. And generally, it's that guy in front of you.
A lot of the reason we have Taj Boyd on is to try and get inside the mind of the quarterback, and I want you to start there, Taj, just because of the fact that it seems like Trevor Lawrence continues to kind of come along a lot of scrutiny. I don't think it's really here. It's a lot of the national hot takers. They see the interception total, and they freak out. I look at this, and I say Clemson plays a very high-risk offense, which is going to lead to Trevor almost kind of having to be like a gunslinger. I know you probably wouldn't evaluate his play as being exceptional over the first three games, but where is your level of worry for where number 16 has looked over the last couple of weeks?
You know, I'm not really worried about it, you know, but I think, you know, more or less what I want to see is just these guys playing at the level that they're capable of. You know, there's so many people that go out there and say, you know, a win is a win, which is very true, by the way, but, you know, Coach Sweeney always has this thing that he says, and it's best as a standard. And when you're talking about that, it's not, you know, Duke's best or UNC's best. It's Clemson's best. Right now, they're not putting their best foot forward. They're not playing their best ball. But we can go out there again and win a decisive game. You know, I think it really just shows the element of how explosive this offense can be when they're hitting all cylinders. And they're just not knowing that right now for whatever reason. So I think it's back to the basics, back to the drawing board, you know, controlling the things that they can control. You know, again, this is Trevor's first full year starting. So there are some new things that he's seeing, that he's experiencing. You know, he doesn't have, you know, that veteran guy that's in front of him telling them that everything's going to be okay. But I think he can handle it perfectly fine. But, again, sometimes I think he's carrying, you know, the weight of the world on his shoulders when he doesn't necessarily have to do that. So, you know, for him, I think he's just settling in. And he got a lot of ball to play in front of him. And obviously the idea is to peak at the right time, you know, but to see the difference between, or the separation, I would say, between the defense and offense right now is pretty drastic, you know. But again, they can still go out there and put up 40-something points and it'd be somewhat sloppy. There's no telling what this offense looks like when they're firing all the way through. So I'm excited to see these guys to continuously progress. That's what I want to see more than anything week in and week out. And, you know, like, especially when you're talking about these deep ball opportunities, they're going to be there all year, man. Teams are going to try to see if they can win one-on-one matchups outside. Trevor has to deliver. Those guys have to catch it. But I see this team really starting to continue to grow, especially on the defensive side of the ball, more so than I ever anticipated coming into the season.
Former Clemson quarterback Taj Boyd on the line with us. Taj, how much of this, in your opinion, is or how much of Trevor's supposed struggles so far, in your opinion, are a product of the offense really opening up for him? I'm sure he grasped a lot of it really early in his freshman season, but it's opening up a little bit more. How much of his struggles are a product of that?
Well, I think he's built for whatever. When you look at Trevor, especially his high school film, what you see is him pretty much running the same style of offense, even at that level right there. So I think if anything, you know, the coaches are pretty much keeping, you know, tight reins on the playbook specifically because they don't have to open it up. I would personally love to see it opened up, man, just because I want to see all these weapons that they have utilized at their full capacity. But, you know, again, it's the basic thing. It's the little things. It's, you know, transferring that weight. It's trusting his guys, trusting his arm. You know, so many times as a quarterback, you sit back there and you want to complete the ball so bad that you start to aim it instead of throw it. So for Trevor, it's just back to the details. Man, I know that Brandon Street is going to get him right there. But I do think that he's a true quarterback whisperer. So it's for him. He has all the intangibles. We all know that. He has the arm strength. He has the savvy. He has the poise. Now he just has to get out of his own head, man, and just play ball the way he has his entire life. And once we see that, man, we're going to see a can of whoop, you know what, open up. So.
I like the way you put that, Taj.
I try to keep it PG.
I understand. Trust me, we appreciate that, and so does the FCC. From the standpoint of just from where you would look at it, because I know you like to look at things from both sides of the football, and if you took off the Clemson hat for a second and you had to face a defense that had Isaiah Simmons on it, how would you look to try and exploit a matchup there with him? Because to me, he seems like somebody who can be a matchup killer, not only as a pass rusher, but as a guy in coverage. How much would you hate to face that guy in the opposition?
I mean, he's as rare as a player as you're going to find. Like, I think if you're going to try to match him up with anybody, he would have to – I was trying to figure out a way to get him one-on-one with maybe my ex-wide receiver because I think he crushed the slots. You know, he's tall. He can run. He's usually 3 or 4 inches taller than those guys. Running backs don't stand a chance. You know, even your lead blocker is going to get – he's going to whiff trying to sneak up and block him. So I was trying to figure out a way to get him isolated one-on-one outside to see if he can run with my number one wide receiver. But, again, I don't think that Brent Venables is going to allow that to happen, man. They use him in such a wide, different array of positions out there, man, that it makes him that much more explosive, that much more impactful. So as a offensive coordinator, I'm doing everything I can to try to isolate him away from everything that's happening in the middle of the football field. And, really, I want to get one-on-one matchups with the safeties. You know, at heart, to see if I can win that way as well. I think the corners are playing outstanding ball. I think the whole defense is playing outstanding ball. But a guy like Isaiah Simmons, you want to find a way to mitigate his role as that position. I mean, it's the same thing we did with Luke Kuechly. You know, when we played Boston College, it was more or less, how do we take him out of the game plan and not let him get started up? And it was one of those deals where, like, he didn't have that much impact, but yet still, when you look at the stat sheet, he still had 20 tackles at the end of the game. It's unbelievable. So guys like that are going to get theirs. You just don't want them to be a big part of the reason that the momentum is shifting. And that's what Isaiah is right now. He's disruptive. He's explosive. And he's everything you want in your number one defensive player taking off of the boards.
Who do you think he compares to amongst guys you've seen? I mean, would Kuechly be the answer? And do you think that he has a skill set that translates to the NFL?
Yeah, I don't compare him to anybody. I think he's the perfect prototype of what you want in these new look defenses that are going to be able to compete with these fast running gun offenses. When you look at a team like Houston, when you look at a team like Kansas City or St. Louis, like, you got to have guys that can legitimately play wherever they're put at and not be so one-sided where they're locked in at a position. You know, like Minka Fitzpatrick, for instance, doesn't like the fact that he has to play in different roles. What he doesn't realize is if you can do that, you're that much more valuable. And the next time that contract levels up, man, you're looking at yourself as the prime player. Now, Isaiah Simmons is going to be the standard for what they want out of these guys, which is interesting because a guy like him, you know, 10, 15 years ago, they didn't know where to put him at. Now he's what everybody's going to be seeking. So the old traditional linebackers, straight downhill, Penn State-built kind of guys will no longer exist. They'll be extinct in the NFL in the next 3 or 4 years. You're going to have a bunch of players that are similar to what Isaiah Simmons' build is.
Taj, what really goes through a player's head when Dabo hypes up a team like Charlotte, calling them the most explosive team they've faced all season?
And look, you know, as a player, you just sit there. You hear it. You just take it for what it is. And I know exactly what he's doing, man. Like, you don't want to take anything for granted. But at the end of the day, it's Charlotte. It's the 49ers, man. Like, you know, these guys should steamroll up. Granted, they got some talent out there. I mean, they got some individual weapons, man. But we're talking about polar opposites of ends of the spectrum here. So I don't imagine that they'll have any trouble with them when time kickoff starts. But, hey, you never can tell. The hardest hits I took were against teams that weren't, you know, grade A caliber either. It was South Carolina State and the Citadel. I almost got knocked out of both of those games. So, you know, you got to be wary because these guys are going to play hard. You know, they're on primetime TV. So, you know, they got all the family watching, all the homies watching, and they're going to try to put on the show. So you just can't let them get an opportunity to even show face and give them any bragging rights because they'll talk about it forever. Trust me.
Is there anybody, Taj, we're talking with Taj Boyd as we usually do on Wednesdays at this time here on ESPN Upstate, Willie P and Diesel here with you on Straight Up with Sturge. Is there anybody who is better at communicating to his team through the media than Dabo? Because I honestly feel like that is more of a pep talk for his players because those statements are so damn outrageous that that we're going to basically play him. We're going to play him on the radio. We're going to talk about him. There's going to be ink spilled over it. It's going to be on social media, and yet that's literally the message from Dabo. That couldn't have been more direct to his team than anybody else.
Yeah, look, man, I'm not, you know, saying this in a bad way because, you know, I almost thought about getting into politics myself. But, Coach Sweeney's a politician, man. I'm not gonna sit there and say he's not. You know, so he's never gonna give any ammo to anybody else more than they need. And I think that's what you love about it, because he can say it. So, and it's one of those things where, like, all things can be true, but not likely. So can they embarrass you? Yeah, absolutely. Will they embarrass you? Not likely. Mm-hmm. Could they beat you? Yeah, absolutely. Is it going to happen? Most likely not. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things with him where he legitimately can give you the whole basis of what could happen. And essentially he's telling his team that this is how it won't happen, you know. So it's, you know, you can learn a lot of life lessons from a man like that, man, who can figure out how to make everybody feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Without necessarily going out there and absolutely saying it's going to pummel every team that you step up against.
Yeah, I'm not.
That's the schedule right now.
I'm not trying to say that. Yeah, yeah, I'm not trying to say it in a disparaging way. It's just I find it interesting how crazy that.
No, for sure. Yeah. And it's kind of hard for me to communicate too, because if I was a head coach, I don't know if that's exactly what I would be saying.
Right. Exactly.
But you know, like it's like you know, what, you're in Charlotte.
Yeah.
You know, what do you say to Clemson? What do you say about this game? Like, hey, fellas, you got to go out here. We're going to get everything you got for four quarters. That's all you can really say.
Right.
You know, go out there and try to execute your game plan. But, I mean, the way this defense is playing, the weapons they got on offense, I mean, you just hope to last for at least a quarter, you know?
Right. Taj Boyd, of course, you can find him always over at the Lakeside Lodge. You're not on the radio this week, Taj. But I tell you what, you'll be able to kick your feet up and maybe watch a little bit of this one here in Death Valley. Appreciate the time as always, bud. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely, buddy. Appreciate you, Will.
That is Taj Boyd joining us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, Radio.com app. Yesterday, we talked to a South Carolina State Senator about someone who is basically trying to change the way the NCAA does its business. How in the world is he going about doing it? We'll tell you if you missed it next on ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com. You know, if I find this funny, Diesel, the folks at Louisville settled with Pitino, and they're going to characterize that his employment ended as a result of a resignation instead of a firing.
Oh. what difference does it make at this point? We all know what happened.
That's the stupidest thing in the world. It's like, is my stupid light on? Like, come on, man. We all know what the heck happened.
That's not even semantics. That's just a flat-out lie.
He's going to get no more money, though. That's the thing. Is that it was a way for them to basically get out of paying him more money. It was almost kind of like a plea deal. It's like, hey, you take the blame here. We make it look like you resigned. I almost feel like this is about as much as like vacating wins. Like you can't make something not happen. You can't make the fact that he was running a situation or he was overseeing a situation where there were people having escorts in dorm rooms. You can't undo that. You can't put the champagne cork back on the bottle, man. Come on.
It's like trying to say Rick Pitino's a good guy.
Right.
Like, we all know it's not true. You can say it all you want.
Now he is doing this from the standpoint of trying to get more into the NBA. So, I mean, again, so does it have that much effect on how NBA people look at him? I mean, I think, again, just because you're not able to sully and keep to the very arbitrary and voluminous rules and regulations set forth by the NCAA and, quite honestly, simple human morality that you have right there at Louisville, doesn't mean you can't be a good coach in the NBA. Quinn Snyder proved that. Of course, we'll transition into this conversation we had yesterday with South Carolina State Senator Marlon Kempson. He has basically been the champion of a couple of different bills. This one now currently about to be put forth to the South Carolina State Legislature. Justin Bamberg, the co-sponsor of the bill in the other part of the South Carolina State House. They're not going to introduce it until January, but he wants to put a bill in place that gives players the ability to have a name and likeness, ability to negotiate that, also be able to take advantage, to get payments on their name and likeness, I should say. Also wants $5,000 in a stipend to go to the student athletes, and also wants money to be put in a medical trust fund. He believes that the profitable nature of football allows for this to take place in a statement he made to us on ESPN Upstate yesterday.
The athletic director of USC was on record. Football is very profitable at the school. I believe the net profit last year was $5 million, and that's after all expenses have been paid. And so we are no longer, guys, talking about amateur football. The PE teacher no longer coaches basketball or football. This is professional sports, and we need to call it what it is. And in our view, it's only fair that the players, who largely come from low to moderate income backgrounds, get some form of compensation beyond the cost of an education and the other benefits they're provided.
That was Marlon Kempson yesterday on this program. Finding out also today, per ESPN.com, the folks in the state of New York are putting forth a much similar bill, basically that would require college athletic departments to give a 15% share of annual revenue to student athletes. 15% of their annual revenue would go to the student athletes. Huh. And also give colleges the right to sell the rights to their own names, images, and likeness. Crazy.
15%, that's a big cut.
It's a big cut. Think about the $5 million number that he just said, 15% of $5 million. It's hefty, I would say. 15% of $5 million is... Come on, you should know this.
I'm not good at math.
$750,000.
Okay.
So there you go. Thank you. I had Google. I had the benefit of Google in front of me. Don't worry.
How divided? Equally among all student athletes?
That I do not know based on the drafting of the bill. I'm guessing that is the case, equally. But again, you would still have the opportunity to get money off the top on your name and likeness. So $750 divided by the amount of student athletes that you have in a particular department. Again, I think that's you're probably getting somewhere around what that 5,000 number that was being said by Mr. Kempson. South Carolina, New York, Maryland, Colorado, Washington have all joined California in adopting similar policies now on the books, or at least trying to get them on the books. And also, U.S. Congressman Mark Walker of North Carolina has proposed changing federal laws to create a similar effect nationwide. How this would work from Kempson's standpoint, he told us yesterday on ESPN Upstate.
I don't see any difference in that in what many students who don't play football are allowed to do. If a full scholarship chemistry student creates an app, he can hire someone to negotiate with Apple a price for that app that he designed. But when it comes to college football players or basketball players, they can't even sell bottled water without getting in trouble with NCAA rules or sign their own name for a soda. And so what we're talking about is a very transparent process through license agents, income reported so taxes can be paid as a barter for their property rights, intellectual property rights of their own name, of their own pictures, and et cetera.
It's something that part of it you didn't like, Diesel.
Yeah, I didn't like the agent
part.
Now, I didn't catch where he said licensed agents. Now, what does that mean? Now you have to create a licensing structure.
Well, it's similar to what they're doing now with the basketball.
Sure. And so a licensed agent, what does that mean? What is that process? I mean, it sounds easy to say, oh, we'll just give them a licensed agent, or they can hire a licensed agent. Well, okay. Now we're having to devise an entire structure to license agents on their behalf.
Here's the problem that I don't like. And the problem that I don't like is the fact that people keep saying, oh, well, you know, this is not something that's available to all other students. Guess what every other student could do?
Get a job.
You can get a job. If you're an athlete, you cannot work. Your coach will not let you work. It's just it's something that basically your job is to be a football player or a crew athlete or a tennis player or a golfer. All of your free time is put off on that. And you are not allowed to make any bit of money at all. And again, people sit here and tell me, oh, well, you know, you have the full cost of attendance scholarship. You have this and that. That goes away, man. That basically, all that covers is your room, your board, and your books. If you want to go on a date, if you want to go to the movies, heck, if you want to, God forbid, eat somewhere else than the training table. Who among us, honestly, if we're being brutally honest with each other, who among us was in college and ate every single square meal at the dining hall? Guarantee you it was none of you.
None.
None of you. My parents, first semester, they asked me, you know, okay, what meal plan are you going to go on? Are you going to go on the 21 meal plan? And I said, absolutely not. 21 was 7 days, 3 meals a day. Absolutely not. I would eat that food all the time, and it was great food, but it would be exhausting. You go to the same place.
Gotta have some variety.
The variety is the spice of life. Do you really want every one of your meals if you are a student athlete at the training table? Honestly? Come on, man.
But most student athletes have Chick-fil-A in there. Or most colleges have Chick-fil-A in their food court.
Not in the training table. I don't think you can get training table.
But they can go to the food court.
The food court, it costs money.
It's part of your meal plan.
But again, some of these don't have that particular luxury. We're talking about the most of the people here. We're talking about like Clemson and South Carolina. Clemson has, do they have a Chick-fil-A on? I don't think.
On campus?
Clemson does not have a Chick-fil-A on campus, I don't think.
Oh, wow.
They have one in Clemson.
Get in the game, Clemson. Get a Chick-fil-A on campus.
They have Raisin Cane's, though. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number. 71307 is the text line. We'll come back. We'll chat a little bit more about this. Get some more of your thoughts on the text line, 71307. And also, get into something that I find to be a real classy move by South Carolina's opposition this week. Next on ESPN Upstate. Being told on the text line, Clemson has Chick-fil-A, Burger King, and even a Chili's as part of their meal plan. That was 10 years ago. Who knows what they have now? Again, I don't know if that meal plan is equal to what they get at the training table. So, again, I don't know how that breakdown works. The folks at Mizzou are doing something cool for the folks at Helinski's Hope. Of course, the charity started by Ryan Helinski's family to honor his late brother, Tyler. They are going to basically put a banner for Helinski's Hope and have people sign it to help break down the stigma behind mental illness by helping people sign the banner throughout the dining hall hours this week and also donating money to that record. So certainly appreciate the folks at Mizzou taking up on that cause, which, again, very, very much a worthy one for the folks in Ryan Helinski's family. We'll come back, reset the program, and ask you on Twitter at ESPN Upstate, who is the toughest opponent remaining for Clemson? Florida State, North Carolina, NC State, or the hated Gamecocks? Willie P. and Diesel here with you on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, radio.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.